two things. I have two issues here of world that I am done with, that if you would like to pick up, you can pick up them and take them home. I don't need these back in any way, so when you're done with them, you can throw them away or you can pass them on to someone else. I've recommended this magazine in the past, and it's from a evangelical Christian standpoint. It looks at what's going on in the world. And, you know, while it's probably not as conservative as we might be, it really does a good job of just kind of letting you know what's going on around the world. And so this one that I was reading this afternoon, a couple things in here. It talks a little bit about the harvesting of organs in China and just kind of gives a perspective on that. Also talks about, you know, there's been some things that have gone out as far as support of abortion from companies. And so one of them was in the world, and you can read it if you want to figure it out and find out. But one was in the world, and you have all these, you know, it was in New York Times. And it gave this endorsement in all these companies. And it looks like a big deal, but then you go to realize all these companies are just little companies. They're really not big deals. So it makes it look like a big deal, and the TV programs pick it up. They say, hey, look at all, there are so many companies that have endorsed this, but there were none on the Fortune 500. I mean, there was no real big companies that, so it kind of gives you a perspective and says, even though it looks like a big deal, it's really not. And it gave the illustration of the Wizard of Oz from, 1939. I think it said in here, August 25th, 1939 is when the Wizard of Oz came out. Long time ago. But if you remember the Wizard of Oz, remember lion, tigers, and bears? Anybody? Wow. I mean, some of you, I know you're born after that, but still. Anyways, remember Dorothy goes in to the Wizard of Oz at the end of the yellow brick road, and she gets there, and it's this big smoke, you know, and all of this, and big microphones, and you know, and she's terrified. And then her little dog, what's the little dog's name? Toto. How did you know that? Okay. All right, so Toto goes behind and finds the man behind the curtain and realizes it's not that big of a deal. And that was kind of the metaphor that they used, is they said, you know, it looks like a big deal, but then you go behind the curtain and realize, well, it's not really a big deal. And so it's one of those things that, you know, sometimes we look at things that are going in the world and we say, look, everybody's going after this. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's endorsing it. But then you realize, wait, that's not actually true. So anyways, it just really helps this really helps in different areas to really kind of put things in perspective. So there's a couple up here. If you want to take them, you can. Another is, this is a note from the Rosencrans, missionaries to Israel, if you remember them. They were here not too long ago. Dear Pastor Schaff and First Baptist Church, Soap Lake, thank you for allowing us to come and share with you all our burden for Jewish souls in Haifa, Israel, all souls actually. May God bless your sweet church as you follow his will. Much love and prayers. Thanks, Steve and Cindy Rosencrantz. So that is from the Rosencrantz. All right, we are going through this Truths About Salvation 4-part Bible study. Now, look at this. Do you notice anything different? I was sitting in my office thinking to myself, I was like, I'm going to lose mine if I don't somehow differentiate from all the others. So you can do that same thing. You can somehow make a marking on the outside. Remember, I told you to put your name on the inside. Remember on the inside cover? But, you know, all these on my desk, you know, and they're the likelihood of me actually losing it is pretty high in probability. So I colored mine in a little bit just so I can recognize. So don't color that blue and don't color that blue, okay? You can do whatever else you want to it. Do it something else. But that way you kind of know which one's yours so you can hold on to it. And really my prayer, and I hope it's your prayer too, is that you would be willing to, when we're done, go have a Bible study with somebody. Even right now, you don't have to wait till we're all done. You can even right now take somebody aside and start working through them with this. sharing with them the truth about salvation. And what I want you to do is I really want you to hold on to your own copy and make notes in it, fill in the blanks, and then we will have ones available. I'm not sure where we'll put them yet. We'll find a place, but have them available. And if you are doing a study with somebody, even if it's not this, if you have something else you want to use, fine. But if you're doing a Bible study with someone with the hope of sharing with them the gospel, can you let us know so we can pray for you? I think that would probably be a good thing, right? And so we could share that. We could encourage one another. And let me ask, does anybody, I'm going to qualify this. If you were not here last week, because if you were here last week, you should have gotten one. And so if you were here last week and got one, but you're here tonight and you don't have one because you lost it, that's your own fault for tonight, right? So first we will give these to people who don't have one because they weren't here last week. And then if there are extras left over, then you can have one. So raise your hand if you weren't here last week. Yeah, Daniel, you can pass them around. So if you weren't here last week, thank you, Daniel. They weren't here last week. So if you weren't here last week, raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Has anybody started a Bible study with anybody over the past week? Okay. They weren't here last week. There. That's good. All right, everyone got one that wasn't here last week? Is there anybody else that needs one that you were here last week and you shamefully want to raise your hand and say, I lost mine? I have three left. No, it's not shamefully. I can make more. This is not a problem to make more, so don't feel bad. I'd rather they be prolific. So anyways, does anybody need one? Don't be ashamed. No, man. All right. Is there anybody here tonight that you have someone on your mind that you would like to do this Bible study with? Okay, and if you'd like to share who that is so we can pray for him, you can. You can be general or you can be specific as much as you want. Okay, so Eleanor? Yes. So Eleanor, her neighbor is Anne. She's kind of back behind her. She was here this morning sitting in the back, dark black hair. She walks around town. So Eleanor, desiring to have a Bible study with her. Good. Evie, did you have your hand? Daniel. Good. So Daniel with Brian, their neighbor, he's been to church a couple times. He was at the men's breakfast. By the way, the men's breakfast was fantastic. Thank you, David. Food was fantastic. So don't miss out on those the next time we have them. I mean, the cinnamon rolls and the thick bacon and the cheese on the eggs. I mean, just fantastic. So. Were they Michelle's? We weren't sure who they were. They were fantastic, though. We are happy anytime cinnamon rolls show up. Okay, good. So Eleanor with Ann, Daniel with Brian. Who else had their hand up? Yes, Kristen. What's your name? Beverly. So Kristen. Her neighbor, Beverly. Let's be in prayer for anybody else. Good. Let's be in prayer for these people that the Lord opens up their hearts to receive the gospel, even to receive the Bible study. And let's pray for Eleanor, Daniel, and Kristen that God would give them boldness as well to present this to them. Okay, so we'll pray, and then we're going to move into lesson number 2. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the day that somebody brought it to our own hearts. Because you used the messengers in our lives. Maybe it was a tract. Maybe it was a Bible study. Maybe it was just the preaching of the word at a church. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a sibling. But Father, somehow you got the gospel to our heart, and we are forever thankful. You have changed our lives. Father, we have a hope that this world does not have. I love the songs we sang tonight, and that thought that we can hide in you. Whatever is going on in the world, the chaos, the Father, all the circumstances that go on, to come to you, to hide in you, to know that you are watching over us and taking care of us, and one day will bring us home. It is a great comfort. And we have that because we are in Christ, because of what you have done for us. And yet you have commissioned us not just to hunker down and seclude ourselves away, but to be lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And so, Father, help us to be those lights, to be bold. And I pray for Eleanor with her neighbor, Ann, that you would open up the door for this Bible study. I pray the same thing for Daniel, that you would help him to be bold with Brian and share this with him. And then Kristen as well with Beverly. And that, Father, we would see your good work happen through these Bible studies. And Father, I'm thankful for these three, and I pray that you would from our group enlarge more Bible studies. And from that, we would see fruit of people coming to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized, join the church, and Father, grow to make their own disciples. Father, thank you for tonight, and I pray that you'd be in the midst of this study. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so go ahead and go to lesson number 2. That is on page 5. And remember, the way that we're doing this, as we're walking through, we have the references, and then we just have somebody read the reference, and then we answer the question. Last week, we talked about the aspect, and I'm just walking through this again. You can have eternal life before you die. You can know that you have eternal life before you die. But then we had to get into the aspect of what is sin. Understand what sin is. It's failure to do right, lawlessness. And then to understand that we are guilty of sin, but that there is also that hope. So the first step is placing yourself in the group called ungodly, realizing that I am ungodly, realizing that I am not a good person. That will rock some people's worlds when they get that message, when they really come to that place, they realize that. Because a lot of people out there think they're good enough. They think they're just fine. They don't need to be saved. And you've heard it said, I think I said it last week, but the truth is we need to get people lost before we can get them saved. They've got to realize that before God they are guilty and stand condemned. All right, so the first lesson about salvation emphasized that every person can know he or she has eternal life even before death, Philippians 1:21-23, and each of us is guilty of sin and in no way deserving of heaven. Now it goes into this. We cannot gain salvation through human merit. Many people feel that salvation is gained through hard work. This is a natural way of thinking, since most of what we now possess comes from our own efforts. Working hard and living a good life are commendable choices. The question to consider is, will personal efforts gain us salvation? So the first question there is number one. Some say we can earn salvation by doing good works. What does Ephesians 2:8-9 say? Let's go there. And then once you get there, if someone can just read that, please. Okay, so what does that say? Can we earn salvation by doing good works? What does Ephesians 2:8-9 say? No, it's not by works. Exactly. It's not by works. We can't work our way. There's several things that it says here. It says, for by grace you have been saved, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you go back and forth between realize it's something that God gives, it's his grace, not from yourself, it's God's gift, not of works. So it goes back and forth and back and forth to amplify that reality that no, it's not of works. Now, remember what I said, this is for with your doing your Bible studies with people, let them work through these answers. Let them give the answers themselves. Don't wait 2 seconds and then blurt out the answer. If they don't get it, have them read it again. And if they only get part of the answer, that's fine. It's just that aspect of it's not by works. Number two, some say we can merit salvation by keeping the Ten Commandments. What does Romans 3:20 say? Okay, so can we merit salvation by keeping the Ten Commandments? Anybody want to take a guess, stab at it? No, thank you. That is correct. No, we do not. Cannot merit salvation by keeping the Ten Commandments. Number three, what is the purpose of the law according to the Romans 3:20? We've already read that, so you can just give me the answer. What's the purpose of the law? Good, to show you what sin is, to reveal that sin in us. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's right. And you know, what's really cool is I think that the Holy Spirit begins to work in people's hearts because we're so quick to point out other people's sin. You know, it's so easy for people to say, oh, that's wrong, and that's wrong. But then when it comes back to me, well, that's not really wrong because, and we justify it. And so the neat thing is the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and reveals that what sin is. So we get the knowledge of sin. That's the purpose of the law. Number four, some say if we live a good life, heaven will be ours. How many people are good according to Jesus in Matthew 19:17? Let someone read that verse and then we'll see if we can come up with the right answer. Okay, so how many people are good according to Jesus? Now, there's only one, right? And so it's like, am I the one? No, that's, you know, obviously speaking of Jesus. What's really interesting is this is in the context of the rich young ruler. Now, this is extra, so you don't need to share this. You know, you don't need to get into all the details. Remember, when you're doing the Bible study, you're trying to stay on track. So even if they have questions, remember, you just have them write it down, and hopefully the study will answer them. If it doesn't, you can answer them at the end. You're trying to stay on track to keep the thought going. But here with the rich young ruler, he comes, and he says, you know, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Then we just read that verse. And so it said, keep the commandments, which ones, blah, blah, blah. He says, I have kept all these from my youth. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And then remember, the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And what he had kept all the commandments, but what did God quickly reveal about his heart? He coveted money. Right. And he wasn't willing to give it to the poor. He wanted to keep that for himself. And so it kind of it reveals his heart there, where we say, oh yes, you kept the commandments, but here comes the internalizing, if you will, of the law. And we saw that with Romans chapter 7, you shall not covet. Get to that place where you realize, oh, there's actually internal things that are going that are wrong. Okay, don't put that in there, that's for free. If someone's paying real close attention to the text, they might come up with that. But in reality, they're just going to come here and they're looking for an answer to the question. So according to Jesus, how many people are good? And he says, no one is good but one, that is God. And so they should really quickly come to that answer and say, oh, yeah, the only good one is God. And I think we'll see how far it goes. But that would be one of those things that if someone says, well, what about Jesus? Was he good? Was he? And you could say, hey, why don't you write that down? And if the study doesn't answer that later on, we'll talk about that. The Bible is saying that our lives are characterized by sin. Our self-effort never takes away our sins. In fact, selfish motives even influence our best works, Ephesians 2:3. Someone read that just to reiterate that. Okay, so that's just that selfish motives even influence our best work. Now, here's just a thought-provoking question. Now, there's several of these as you go along, and this is just to kind of get the person thinking. As you've gone through Bible study, now they're thinking, if it were possible, this is the top of page 6, to be good enough to gain heaven, what would be the purpose of Christ's death on the cross? Would it have been necessary? Okay, so Alan, you're shaking your head. No, it wouldn't have been necessary. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So that's the perfect answer, and that's hopefully, you know, now someone's going to have some Bible background, you know, some biblical knowledge to come up with that answer. But that's really the thought-provoking question. Hopefully, the answer they would come to is they say, well, you know, if I was good enough to make it into heaven, God wouldn't have sent his son to die because I could have just worked it out. We can gain salvation by placing our faith in the finished work of Christ. Number one, what burden did Jesus bear on the cross? 1 Peter 2:24. Okay, so what burden did Jesus bear on the cross? Our sins. Good. Yep. Number two, for what did Christ die? 1 Corinthians 15:3. Okay, so for what did Christ die? For our sins. I know it's a reiterate. Why do we reiterate things? To nail it down. Okay, so Jesus died for our sins. Read Hebrews 10:12. This verse is speaking about Jesus Christ. How many times was Jesus sacrificed? Okay, so how many sacrifices did he offer? One, and then what did he do? He sat down, what is that state? It's finished, the work's done. Good, okay? So there's just one sacrifice, and then he sat down, stating it's finished. How long will that sacrifice be effective, does it say in the text? Forever, right, good. Once for all, forever. Number four, the apostles clearly taught about Christ's death, Acts 2:23. What else did they teach according to Acts 2:24? So someone could read both of those verses. Okay, so they taught about his death. What else did they teach about? His resurrection. Good, okay. The Bible says in Acts 2:36, God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. The Father clearly accepted the sacrifice offered by the Son, as stated in Isaiah 53:11. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he, the Father, will be satisfied. The good news of the gospel can now be preached to the world. So his work on the cross has gained our salvation and has purchased for our salvation the sacrifice for our salvation. Now, our Lord's actions make salvation possible. Next, we need to consider how we receive this salvation. So one, Paul was asked in Acts 16:30, what must I do to be saved? Saved means to receive salvation or eternal life. What was Paul's response in Acts 16:31? Which that was one of our memory verses in VBS. Okay, so what does a person have to do to receive salvation? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And this is an offer, and this is how you handle this. This is an offer that is available to the jailer and to his household. So if the jailer believes that salvation is there for him, if his household believes it is there for them as well, it's not that the jailer believes and then his whole household is safe. But you don't need to add that. That's just because us, in our minds, there may be theological issues that we think we have to deal with, but you don't necessarily. You just be opening a can of worms that aren't even there in the first place. Okay, the word believe, this is top of page 7, means to trust or rely on. According to Jesus, what is necessary in order to have eternal life? Now, just to remind you, one of the things that we're working through in this lesson is to understand that salvation is not gained by our merits, by our works. All right, so we have these verses, John 3:16. Maybe someone can just quote that. We got to do it really loud. Okay, so from John 3:16, what do we have to do in order to have eternal life? Believe. Good, okay? John 5:24.
I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He is prophet from death to life.
What do we have to have to have eternal life? What do we have to do? Believe. Good. John 6:47. I know, I was just going to say, does anybody see the pattern? Okay, once again, what does a person have to do in order to have eternal life? Believe. And then John 11:25. What do we have to do to have eternal life? Believe. Again, believe means to trust. Many people trust in various things to obtain eternal life. Good works, keeping the law, going to church, loving their neighbor, believing in God, or any combination of these actions. For one to truly, now, just a mark there, you say, well, aren't we supposed to believe in God? Okay? There's a lot of people that believe in God, but it's not the God of the Bible. And so in this day and age, you need to differentiate. Even a Jehovah Witness will say, I believe in God, but he does not believe in the God of the Bible. Because the Jehovah Witness has made the God of the Bible to be something else because of how they look at his son. Okay? All right. So for one to truly believe, trust in Christ, that person must remove his trust from whatever he feels will get him to heaven. He must place all his trust in the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone to save him. One stops trusting his own performance and places his entire trust in his perfect performance, the crucifixion, resurrection for our sins. He must move back in time 2,000 years, look at the cross, resurrection, and embrace it alone for salvation. That's what a person must do to have eternal life. 3, how does one actually put his trust in Christ? What is a person to do? Romans 10:13. Okay, good. Call upon the name of the Lord. Now, let me ask you, can this be a non-verbal call? Yes. Yes, it can. The neat thing is that people who truly get saved, it will not stay non-verbal for long. And very quickly, hopefully, it will become public and verbal by their baptism. And the Spirit working in their life and bringing forth fruit. Now, it says right after this, this is not a prayer to help fix things in this life, but a call to save your eternal soul. Now, pause for a minute, because that's very, very important. Has any unbeliever ever asked you to pray for them? Anybody here in that category? Yeah. They'll ask, pray for this, pray for me for that. What is it a prayer for? To fix something, right? I have this doctor's appointment. I have this health issue. I have this family situation. It's, you know, I want God. I want you to call upon God to fix my situation. It's not, I'm calling upon God to save my soul. And that is the difference here. When someone is calling upon the Lord, it's not saying, hey, God, here's the deal. You fix my situation, and I'll consider the Bible, or I'll start to live for you, or I'll do this. It's a person actually realizing that they are guilty before God, and they can only be forgiven through Jesus Christ. And they are calling out to God for that grace and mercy to be extended towards them, that they may be found in Christ. Consider the man's call in Luke 23:42. Right, but we don't even, yes, I'm not saying those are bad, but the thing is, it's to help differentiate so people understand, this is, yeah, not just fix my situation, but actually save my soul. Consider the man's call in Luke 23:42. This takes us back to the cross. We've actually already kind of seen that in the first lesson. So we went through the criminals on the cross a little bit. So that should kind of be familiar. Yeah. But there's, yeah, you want to stay on track, but there wouldn't be anything necessarily wrong with just saying, no, this is the two criminals. There were two criminals that were crucified on the side of Jesus. You remember that? So you can bring that in real quickly. Okay, so is he asking Jesus to fix his situation? No, he's not. Right, he's not saying, hey, get me off this cross. Hey, fix the situation here. He's actually asking for Jesus to remember him. Number 4, do you think the man in Luke 23:42 was placing his trust in Christ? Yes. Yes, right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, there's so many things about this criminal on the cross that gets saved. One of the things I love is he never gets baptized. He never goes to church. He never does any work. But Jesus assures him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. And so it's that realization that it is, Ephesians 2:8-9, it's not by works, but it's believing in Christ. He gets a crown? Testifying? Yeah, there you go. All right, number five. What was Christ promised to him? I guess I just said that, didn't I? Right, today you will be with me in paradise. Number six, on top of page eight, do you think this man is in heaven today? Yes, according to the words of Jesus. Yeah, I suppose you could. I don't even know that you need to address that at this time. We're not addressing eschatology right now, so we're more so working with the side of soteriology. Number seven, do you think that you could gain entrance into heaven by doing the same as the man in Luke 23:42? That's Romans 10:13, is whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And right here in Luke 23:42, he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Do you think that you could gain entrance into heaven by doing the same thing as the man in Luke 23:42? But the answer is yes, okay? Because remember when we talked about this in the past, whenever you call out for Christ to save you, there is a repentance in there because you are turning from what you are holding on to in the past to save you, and now you are turning towards Christ. So when you turn to Christ and say, save me, please, you alone can save me. I believe in you. You know, there's this whole turn in a person's heart and mind. That's right. Yep. And it's neat because he doesn't have all this theology. He doesn't have, you know, who knows how much Old Testament he knows. I mean, but there is a man in front of him. And God is doing a work in him. And Jesus has, you know, talked to him. And, you know, he just says this. And the Lord's, you know, basically, because it's about Christ. It's about placing our trust in Christ. Yeah. What are you going to say, Mary? Yes, the ABCs. Amidst. Right. This man is innocent. He heard the crowd, just like Jesus heard. Right. He heard what the people on the ground were saying. Mm-hmm. You know, and then he came to
right.
trust in what Jesus, what was being indicated that they said Jesus was going to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, interestingly, okay, the criminals on the cross, what happened to them to make them die more quickly? They broke their legs because then you couldn't push yourself up and breathe anymore. So then you wouldn't be able to breathe. All right. When they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, as they're doing that, what do they find out about him? He's already dead. So Jesus actually dies before the two criminals. And what does the centurion who is guarding the Lord Jesus Christ, what does he say? Truly, this was the Son of God. And so whether they had already broken the legs of the other criminals yet or not, I don't know. But that might have even been something. So, yes, these criminals, they're hearing all of this. They're seeing all of this. And this man believes in the midst of it. Okay, so here's the question. Why not put your trust in Christ right now? The Bible makes salvation a very simple matter. We are lost in our sins, but Christ came and died for our sins. He arose from the dead and now offers eternal salvation to anyone who will simply place his or her trust in him alone. Therefore, one can respond and place his or her trust in Christ and receive eternal life. There's no greater joy than to know that you have eternal life. Do you know for certain that you have eternal life? If not, you can know for sure by trusting Christ as your Savior. Talk to the Lord. He is ready to listen. Admit to him that you are a sinner and believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again from the dead.
He will save you and come into your life. Now, one of the precious things is that you read that and you wonder, well, is the person ready to make that step? And what I truly believe is that when that person is ready, you won't need to convince them to make that step. There will be a working that the Holy Spirit is doing in them. They will clearly see, and they will call out to Jesus to save them. So you're even putting the decision before them right here at the end of lesson two. And then lesson three goes in and talks about more salvation. And then actually lesson four goes more so to the area of assurance of salvation. All right, so that's lesson two. And good. Any questions, thoughts before we close tonight? Yes. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. Works glorifies self, faith glorifies God. Right. Well, in Ephesians 2:8-9, not so that we could boast. You know, if I got to heaven by my own merits, I could be up there saying, hey guys, look at me, I got here because I did it. And then that would take the glory away from God. Romans 5.
If salvation is by works, then it is no more salvation, it's wages.
Right, yes. Yep. Is that Romans 5? Now you got me. Okay. Now, let me ask you this question. Can the Lord use any one of you here tonight to walk someone through this Bible study or even Bible verses? And can the Lord use you to share the gospel with anybody and help them come to Christ? Do you truly believe that? Okay, good. Yes, not only can we, he expects us to. I think one of our hindrances about sharing the gospel and even the aspect of doing a Bible study like this is that thought that I can't do it, can't work through me, I'm just not adequately prepared. What if they ask these questions? I'm not eloquent enough. And the list goes on and on. And that's really, really slamming the God who is in us and the power that works through us. Because he has promised to work through us. And his word is powerful. We just need to be putting it out there and giving it out there. So, yeah, real quick. Yeah, bud. Uh-huh. 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 Wait, ask that question again. Oh. That's right. Yeah. And so the two things, Taurus, one is that we pray to God and ask for help like Jesus did. That's one thing. And then two, we continue to fellowship with the believers because we encourage one another. We lift each other up. And we come in here and we might be like, oh, you know, that was all hard. I'm worn down. And somebody might come alongside us and pick us up and say, come on, you can keep going. It's okay. You can keep doing it. So those two things really help us in combating that, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for today, the day we've had together, how you've worked in our midst. Father, the opportunity to worship you corporately. Father, I thank you for what we learned this morning, what we reminded our hearts of this morning, that There certainly is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Father, to understand, if we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have been united with Christ. We are in union with Christ. And that is true of us, that we do not sit under condemnation. We are not children of wrath any longer, but we are your children. We are your sons. We are your daughters. And we are joint heirs with Christ. And he is the first fruits. The resurrection that happened to Christ will happen to us. And one day he will come and he will gather us to be with him forever and present us before your throne faultless. And we thank you for those great truths. And Father, thank you for the time we've had tonight studying your word, reminding ourselves of salvation, what it is. And I do pray that you would encourage us and embolden us to go out and to proclaim the gospel to those around us who need Christ. Specifically, Father, to go out and have this Bible study with somebody. And once again, I pray for Eleanor, Daniel, and Kristen, that they would be able to go out and have this Bible study with the people that they are praying over and targeting. And Father, just that you would receive glory through it. And I pray that more of us would have people in mind and be praying over the opportunity. Thank you for tonight. Father, may we continue to remain faithful to you until you call us home. We never know what a week holds, but I'm so glad that we know you, our Father, who holds the week. And so we place our hands, we place our lives in your hands. Give us wisdom, give us strength. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.